Rebranding is almost inevitable for any company that sells a product or a service. From rapidly changing trends to business practices, companies need to know when it is time to rebrand and when it's time to not. Part of Braithwaite's job is to decipher when a rebrand is necessary and how to build a new story around the client's changing products and services. Braithwaite's staff is full of experts who know how to spot the best time for a change and how to tell stories that are worth hearing by their audience. As your host for this episode, my name is Nicole Aranzio. I'm currently an intern at Braithwaite Communications and a rising senior at Penn State University. Today, I have Jake Borer, an account supervisor at Braithwaite Communications, to tell us a bit more about client rebranding. Jake, welcome to Wrong Story Short.
Thanks so much for having me, Nicole. Excited to be here.
Recently, HBO changed the name of their streaming platform from HBO Max to Max in an effort to show their changing product line. A spin-off sale of the previously acquired Warner Media from AT&T and a subsequent merger with Discovery Inc. brought on the need for a new go-to-market name. HBO, a network known for its esteemed big-budget series such as Game of Thrones, The Last of Us, The Sopranos, and Succession, will now offer content outside of the HBO library from Discovery-owned networks such as TLC, HGTV, and Food Network on the recently launched Max streaming platform. Since HBO had to rebrand their streaming platform to reflect this service change, Jake, what are the pros and cons of taking HBO out of the streaming platform's name?
Yeah, this Max change has really made some waves from a branding standpoint, hasn't it? I think it's important to realize that a decision like this for, you know, what's seemingly a pretty minor change in just dropping HBO from their name, though we know it's perceived as a huge shift in the court of public opinion, obviously. It isn't just made in a vacuum for no reason at all. There's always something forcing the hand of a rebrand like this. You know, the old proverb, necessity is the mother of invention, really applies here, as rebranding, I think, is really a form of reinvention. And that reinvention is always spurred on by something. In this case, it was that spin-off sale and subsequent merger that you mentioned earlier that ultimately left the HBO brand specifically as just one piece of the now much larger Warner Brothers Discovery puzzle. So even though on the surface it might appear that Max is just dropping HBO, so to speak, it's clearly much more than just a name and a logo change here. The new Max platform offers a more well-rounded entertainment selection, and they are also aiming to make more technical improvements on the platform side as well, such as expansive parental controls and a less complicated navigation system on the tech side of things with the new platform. So specific to the pros and cons part of your question, I think that, you know, time will tell on what this really looks like for the HBO part of this name change. You know, I think the brand equity that HBO has built up from an entertainment standpoint over the years, you know, going back to their iconic It's Not TV, It's HBO campaign, and some of the revolutionary shows that they have produced in the premium television space. You know, I think that there is something to be said about potentially a con of this being washing out that brand equity that HBO has built up from an entertainment standpoint by putting all of that content alongside TLC and Discovery channel content that is going to be included on Max. So I think time will tell there from a pros and cons standpoint, but ultimately everything else that I mentioned about this being a more expansive streaming platform and offering a larger library of content across that Discovery Time Warner umbrella would be the pro.
As you previously said, this is clearly more than just a name and a logo modification. Can you tell us why company rebrands should usually be more than just a logo redesign or a name change?
Yeah, so I think, you know, this question really goes back to that point of necessity that we discussed earlier. What's change that's even having you consider a rebrand? That's the most important question a company needs to answer. Has there been a change in how you bring yourself to market? Are you introducing new products or services? Has there been a merger or acquisition that is changing up your product mix and introducing a whole new offering. These are the types of major structural changes within a company that warrants that rebrand conversation. And the logo and or name change is always obviously a very important component of that conversation. But I think the larger go-to-market strategy from a language and a positioning perspective, that should accompany any good rebrand is really what makes a good rebrand successful. In the past, we have seen companies that only went with a logo redesign that weren't necessarily paired with a product change or an audience change. One of those is Tropicana's orange juice container blender. Or perhaps an even worse example was Gap changing its iconic logo back in 2010, just for change sake, to try and re-energize sales after a post-2008 financial crisis slump in sales. Upon reveal of the new logo, the negative backlash from their loyal customers that Gap received was so extreme and so vocal that they ditched the new logo and went back to their original logo in less than a week. So that's kind of an iconic example of just changing your logo for change sake, failing miserably.
And as you know, Jake, when it comes to a large-scale company rebrand, there is obviously not a one-size-fits-all method. So how does Braithwaite approach each client's individual story and goals to shape that into an effective approach of a rebranding project?
Yeah, the word individual there, I think, is very important with this topic, as I do believe each and every rebrand is unique. We've discussed a lot of big-time household name consumer brands so far, but I can assure you that there are daily conversations about rebranding activities happening in meetings of key stakeholders at B2B companies, both big and small, all around the world, just as much as they're happening at those larger B2C consumer-facing companies. So I think what's important here with our approach is really rolling up our sleeves and having those initial conversations with key stakeholders in the C-suite and those who are in the field and going to market every day, and learning a little bit about the individuality of that particular company's story, what's leading them to having that initial conversation about a potential rebrand, and using kind of all of the details that we gather from that initial discovery phase to kind of guide our entire strategy and approach to a rebrand.
What are some questions that clients often have about rebranding their business, and how does Braithwaite handle any concerns?
Yeah, change is always hard, and the main concern that we've seen our clients have is the confidence to answer that why now question that a lot of people jump to. We approach that conversation with open arms, and we think the best way to handle those concerns is to engage and listen to your workforce and allow them to express their concerns or questions that they may have behind closed doors, to be able to proactively prepare your reasoning and your communication strategy about what that rebrand means for your company prior to any formal public announcement or launch.
What are the things a company can do or look out for to know that a rebrand is the best next step for their business?
Yeah, it's a nice dovetail question here to the last one, I think. And when we're thinking of this in terms of how a company brings its products or services to market, like I mentioned, I think engaging with your sales team specifically often is the best way to feel that pulse and determine if there has been a change or there's a change on the horizon of how you position yourself as a company and bring your products or services to market, whether it's due to merger and acquisition activity or otherwise. Hearing from the sales team their perspective on that conversation, I think is really a telltale sign for whether or not you should be having that conversation about potentially rebranding yourself.
To segue into the actual rebranding itself, how does Braithwaite create and launch a successful and extensive company rebrand?
Communication is key. The most important thing we've seen in rebranding work that we've launched for our clients in the past is that's crucial for success is communication. Having your I's dotted and T's crossed from an internal communication standpoint and equipping your entire workforce with a steady cadence of messaging, answering those basic who, what, when, where, why questions that everyone's going to want to know the answers to when it comes to such a large change is crucial. Just as important, of course, is the external communication piece for your customers and your audience. Having a simple, consistent messaging strategy that answers why you're implementing this change now and what it means for your customers. Preparing your sales force to disseminate that messaging will go a long way in easing any confusion or concerns that could arise if those questions aren't answered in advance.
If anyone has any questions about rebranding or how Braithwaite approaches a rebranding project, what is the best way for them to contact you?
Yeah, so I think email is the best way there. And my email is pretty simple. It is just jake@gobraithwaite.com. So feel free to reach out to me there and would love to answer any questions you have or strike up a conversation.
Well, thank you so much, Jake, for coming on to Wrong Story Short and sharing your insightful knowledge on the world of rebranding.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Nicole.
For our listeners who want to learn more about Braithwaite's rebranding strategy, visit our website at www.gobraithwaite.com. If you would like to learn more about case studies and Braithwaite's specific communications approach, navigate to the Work tab. If you want to learn more about real-world marketing stories with practical business lessons, navigate to our Thinking tab or subscribe to our newsletter, Long Story Short, at the bottom of our website.